she was 2 months pregnant, and she moved into the house.
First, he took care of her.
She had a romantic relationship with
us. Yes, I was taking care of her son.
But when he wanted to be taken care of,
she turned around and told me, I cannot help you.
Now they're taking care of each other.
She was working. You weren't working. What did you think you were going to sit home and watch court shows on television?
Judge Judy.
Nobody lives for free, right, Your Honor?
Wrong.
You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheinman. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is her courtroom. This is Judge Judy. 30-year-old Matthew Bates is suing his ex-fiancée, 21-year-old nanny Sarah Fisher, for 7 months of unpaid rent. Sarah claims Matthew promised to take care of her.
Order. All rise. Quiet in the courtroom, please. Quiet in the courtroom. Thank you. Yeah, this is case number 66 on the calendar in the matter of Bates versus Fisher.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Parties have been sworn in, Judge. You may be seated. Sir, have a seat, please.
Mr. Bates, according to what I've read, you met the defendant at a time when she was 2 months pregnant. Is that right?
That's true.
And you and the defendant, shortly thereafter, moved in together. I believe you were living in your father's home.
Yes.
And it is your claim that during the 7 months that you lived together, there was an agreement that the defendant would pay rent, that she failed to pay the rent of $200 a month. After you left your father's home, you moved into another apartment together.
We moved into a friend's house, Your Honor. It wasn't our apartment. We never signed no leases.
You moved in to someplace else, a home, together, whether
yes.
it was a friend's home. Or you moved in together. Where you paid rent. Is that right?
Correct.
And that's partially your defense. You say there was never an agreement to pay this rent for the initial 7 months that you lived together. Okay, Mr. Bates, in what month and year did the defendant move into your father's home?
January 4th of 2000, Your Honor.
And how long had you known her before she moved in?
Not long. I met her that day.
Where?
January 4th, at a mutual friend's house.
Yes. She had no place to live?
No, she just got kicked out of her boyfriend's house.
Is that right?
That is not correct. I moved out.
You moved out of your boyfriend's house, but on the 4th of January, you met him, you had no place to live, and you moved in with the plaintiff and his father.
Correct.
Okay. Now tell me about the conversation that you had about the rent.
I'd say the conversation came up on the 6th of January, where she asked if she could stay with us, and I told her we had to talk to my father before that, because he's on the lease. We're both on the lease together. So we went and had a discussion with him, and...
The three of you?
The three of us. And we all came up with an agreement she'd pay $200 a month.
And was she working at the time?
No, she wasn't.
How did you expect her to pay $200
a month? She told me she was going to go out and find a job.
Did she find a job?
No, she did not.
So you knew in the month of February she didn't have a job?
Yes.
And that she wasn't going to be paying $200 a month?
She agreed to pay that.
Pay careful attention to what I said. You knew in the month of February that she didn't have a job and that at least in February she was not going to pay rent.
Right.
Now let's get to March. The month of March, did she have a job?
No.
Did you evict her?
No.
In April?
No.
You're anticipating.
Sorry.
Did she have a job?
No.
Did you evict her?
No.
In May, did she have a job?
No.
Did you evict her?
No.
By that time, had she ceased to become merely a tenant in yours and your father's apartment? And did you begin sharing a room together?
Yes.
So there came a time when you had a romantic relationship with her.
Yes.
When did that start?
It probably started around the 15th of January.
So shortly after she moved in.
Mm-hmm.
And you were working.
Yes.
And you were paying a portion of the rent?
Well, I was paying our part of the rent. Yes.
And how much was the entire rent on the apartment?
$650 a month.
And how long had you lived there with your father?
Over almost a year.
Okay, and covering the expenses together.
Yes.
Right? Now, when you moved out of your father's home and moved into someone else's home, what was the rent on the place that you were renting?
$1,010.
And when did you move into this second home?
Not until October.
Had your baby been born yet?
Yes.
And was she working at that time?
No.
Your Honor, that is a lie.
Just a second. Don't necessarily say anything. This doesn't necessarily hurt you. So why don't you just be quiet?
Okay.
When you moved out of your father's home, into the apartment, she was not working.
No.
So it was anticipated, since she was not working, at least initially, that the $1,010 was going to be paid by whom?
Me and a friend that we lived with. We were splitting everything.
Who was splitting everything?
Me. and the person we were staying with.
But not her.
She was staying home with the baby.
Just a second. But not her financially, because she wasn't working, according to you. So now you have 7 months that you lived with your father, and she did not contribute to the rent at that time. And then you move into another apartment, and you assume for your now little family the $1,010 a month, or half of that, $505, was your share of the rent?
It was our share, yes.
Okay. When, for the first time, did you have the discussion with her about the $700 that you alleged she owed you from January of 2000 until, I don't know, August of 2000, whatever?
It was not until the next year, in 2001.
Well, what precipitated that conversation?
I asked her to help me out with my daughter, because I'm in a court case with my daughter right now. She turned around and told me, well, I cannot help you. I have to be selfish for my son. You know, and that pretty
much...
How
did you want her to help you?
Financially.
Was she working at that time?
Yes.
Were you working?
No, I was staying home and taking care of her son.
At some point, you told me that she was staying home and taking care of the baby, and that you were working. When did that change?
In December.
So shortly after you moved into the new apartment, you stopped working. Why?
I got laid off from my job.
And at that time, did she start working?
Yes.
So you lived in the apartment no more than 2 months with you paying the bills?
Yes.
And then she started to pay the bills?
Yes.
And when she was paying the bills, she was paying all of the rent?
No, I was able to cover about half the rent in December and January.
February.
She covered the rent in February.
March.
We were together in March 2001. This is when we broke up.
What date in March did you break up?
No, we broke up in February, about 18th of 2001.
On what day were you laid off of your job, and from where?
December.
December what?
About the 9th.
When did you ask her for this money to help you out with custody case that you had with your daughter?
In February.
Before or after you broke up?
Before.
After.
So it was the beginning of February?
Mm-hmm.
And she said no, she had to be selfish for herself and her son.
And that was the reason why our relationship started going south.
And that was the first time that you said, where's the $1,400 that you owe me for the rent?
No, that was later. That was in March, I asked her.
So the first time you asked her was in March, where's the money from a year and a half ago that you owe me for rent?
Right.
Wrong. So you don't have to say anything yet.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Matthew Bates says ex-fiance Sarah Fisher owes for unpaid rent. Sarah says there was never an agreement to pay.
According to your complaint, Mr. Bates, and I'm reading directly from your complaint, my father, Sarah, and I made a verbal agreement that she would pay $200 a month for rent. I felt sorry for her and agreed to pay for her living expenses. She was unable to get a job as her pregnancy progressed, so we made another verbal agreement that she could continue living with me, but she would have to pay me back once she had a job. When did you have that conversation with her?
That was in January of 2000.
You told her in January of 2000, after you started to share a room together, after you started to really live together, and while she was pregnant, because she couldn't work, according to you, that she was going to have to pay you back the rent. You telling me that that's the conversation you had
with
her?
Yes, it is.
Is that true?
No.
No, that's not what happened. You whispered that in her ear when you were laying next to her?
No.
No, of course not. Then you became engaged 3 months later.
That's correct.
Did you ask her for the money then?
No.
No.
She wasn't working then.
Mr. Bates, I don't believe you, sir. I don't believe that this is a debt that the defendant has. I believe that if it were a debt, you would have collected it immediately. I believe that what you did was you thought that the two of you were going to be together permanently. It may have been initially, that when she moved in with you and your father and you didn't know her, really, that you said, well, if you want to live with us, you have to pay rent, $200 a month. But as soon as you developed a romantic relationship with her, became engaged, actually moved out into your own place, there was never any thought that she owed you $1,400 from a year and a half ago when you first met and she moved into the house. Never.
Your Honor, I never brought it up because the fact that when we moved out, we couldn't get our own place because her credit history is really bad. In Colorado, we cannot get.
Are you telling me, Mr. Bates, that had you married the defendant, you would have believed that she owed you $1,400? You were engaged.
Nobody lives for free, right, Your Honor?
You lived for free when she was working and you weren't.
I was taking care of her son.
I don't care.
I asked her to put the baby in daycare. She couldn't even do that.
Just a second. She was working because you weren't working. And if you were staying home, what did you think you were going to sit home and watch court shows on television?
No.
Huh?
No.
Huh?
No.
So you had to do something, so you took care of the baby. She worked. She supported you. Goodbye.
Parties are excused. You may step out.
She just uses people.
He wasn't good enough for me.
Anything she can get out of a person, she'll do it.
Look before you leap.
And now the next case.
All parties on Garcia versus Clopton. Step forward, please.
24-year-old telephone operator Evelyn Garcia is suing her ex-boyfriend, 28-year-old grocery clerk Gene Clopton, for money she loaned him to buy a car. Gene is countersuing, claiming Evelyn took his car keys, causing him to hire a locksmith.
Ms. Garcia, the defendant at one time was your boyfriend, mm-hmm. and it is your claim that you loaned him about $250
correct.
Towards the purchase of a car that he wanted. He said you never gave him any money, and he is counterclaiming because he alleges that you came to his workplace, took the keys to the car, forcing him to have a locksmith come in and get new keys. So that's the case.
Right.
Was he your boyfriend when you lent him the money for the car?
We were dating back in 98. And we had broken up, and I had ran into him in January. We exchanged numbers. He invited me to his birthday party, so we kept in contact.
So, car, money.
So, I drove him in my vehicle to look at a car. And the car was for $1,450, and he had told me at the car lot that he hadn't had enough money. I said, well, I can loan you some money. I don't have it on me. Today's Thursday. I don't get paid till Friday. So we both drove to the check cashing place, which I borrowed the money from them, and then
How do you borrow money from the check cashing place?
I just wrote a post-dated check, and then on my next payday, I would pay it.
How much was he short?
Well, the car was $1,450, but then with tags and everything was $16-something.
How much did you lend him?
$250.
You have here $287.
Well, because the check cashing place charged me $37.
Okay. When did he say he would return this money to you?
Well, I had told him, I'm broke, you know, I need money. And then he said, well, I'll do, you know, I won't leave you without money, you know. So I had to end up bouncing checks for that week because I didn't have no money. And I couldn't go to the check cashing place because I had already given him the money. So I was just off about that situation alone.
So?
So then I didn't want to see him anymore because we already had issues. So I just wanted my money. So then the next pay period, he just kept making excuses. So then finally, he gave me a payment of $50.
When did he give you a payment of $50?
He said he had money from me, so I went to his job and picked up the money.
So he doesn't owe you $287.
No.
He owes you $287 less $50.
Right, exactly.
Okay. Now I'll hear you.
Your Honor, when I purchased this vehicle, it was $1,400. I gave him $1,100, the first payment, and then I owed him a balance of $300, and I believe a couple of days later, I went and pulled out the money out of my account, and then I got the car. It says that plus fees, that was smogging.
And the smog fee. How much was smogging?
$56. So what I owed on the car complete would have been $1,456.
Okay.
After a couple of weeks, I guess when she did the check cashing place, she needed to pay that back. So, when I got a chance to, I gave her $100.
She says you gave her $50.
No, I gave her $100.
What was that for?
Because she says she needed money, and it's money I could give her. She was my girlfriend at the time.
So you say the car was $1,456 in total.
Yes.
And you paid the entire amount yourself.
Yeah, I paid for the car.
All right. So show me your bank withdrawals.
These are the two I mentioned.
Ms. Garcia.
Yes.
Did the defendant, on the same day that the car was purchased, give them the entire amount of money?
No, he did not. He told the guy, we will come back. So we went to the check cashing place, and I had given him the money. He did not go back that day, I don't think.
When did you go back?
I went back, I believe, 2 days, because I had to wait for the smog check. And I gave them the $300, you know, the second withdrawal.
But then I had already given you the $250.
Why do you think she would make up such an elaborate story about having given you $250 towards the purchase of the car?
She gets paid every other week. In between those weeks, she's often going to this check cashing place, and she's, you know, getting money to help her get from paycheck to paycheck. On this particular time, she was really, you know, having a hard time financially.
Did you take her to the check cashing place that day?
She was driving. I went with her when she withdrew the money, yes.
What was the price that you agreed on for this car?
$1,400.
Then you add tax and smog and everything else.
Yes.
She says that that brought the total purchase up to about $1,600.
Right. Well, we originally saw it in the ad for $1,450. And then when we went down there, I think he talked him down $100 or something. I don't know the exact amount, but I remember him saying it'll be like $1,600. I was there.
With everything?
Yeah, exactly.
Does that sound right to you?
I lowered the price, Your Honor.
For how much?
I had the paperwork in my car. It's missing now, but
well,
the total price.
Well, that's helpful. Listen to me. Sure. If the paperwork is missing and you know you have a lawsuit, then you go back to the place where you bought the car and you get a copy of that. When did it come up missing?
The paperwork, I believe, came up missing when I had to hire a locksmith because my keys.
When was that, sir?
The day, April 10th.
You've had at least several weeks to go back to the dealership, get a copy of the paperwork to show me that you had more than enough money with the withdrawals that you made to cover the car.
Yes, Your Honor.
Because if the car's total was about $1,600 with the car, tax, tag, smog, everything else, it wouldn't have been $1,400. It would have been closer to $1,600, and there you get $200, right?
Yes, Your Honor, but the tags were already taken care of when I purchased the car.
I don't know. But you understand, sir, Mr. Clopton, that you had the ability to bring the proof.
Yes,
And you didn't. So I have to rely on what the plaintiff tells me. She says you owe her $237. Okay. Ms. Garcia.
Yes.
Did you go to his place of business and take the keys to his car?
No, I did not, Your Honor. I had went to his house first because I left my baby's formula at his house. He was not home, so I figured
This is not his baby.
No.
Go ahead.
Thank God. So I went to his house. He wasn't home, so I knew he'd be at work.
Just tell me, did you take the keys to his car?
No. I drove by his job, me and my boyfriend. His keys were hanging out on the door. I got them, and I went back to his house and got the baby's formula, and then I went home.
So you took his keys to his car?
But not, he says with...
Just a minute, you took the keys to his car?
Yes.
Okay. How much did it cost you to get the locksmith, sir?
$90 total.
You have a bill?
Yes, ma'am.
That you have. That comes off the money, madam.
But it's not my fault he left them.
No, I want you to repeat this
again.
Please be quiet. It's not your fault.
Shut.
Quiet. You were going to say it's not your fault because he left the keys on the door.
I did him a favor. Somebody would have took off in his car.
You did him a favor?
Yes.
I'm deducting the $90, sir.
Your Honor?
Yes.
What about she says it's $50 that she said that I gave her. I say it's $100.
When you fib a little, I don't listen to you.
Okay.
Judgment is modified for the plaintiff in the amount of $147 instead of $237. Is that right?
That's right.
Perfect. Thank you.
Parties are excused. You may step out.
When she got inside my house, she found a greeting card from another girl.
I did see the card.
She even asked me about that. Who the Lisa?
I just asked him, who was Lisa?
Well, Lisa's the person that gave me the card.
He denied it at first.
Things went from there.
I was like, forget it. You know, I'm not going to waste my time.